If you were here last Sunday, you know that for 2018, we're beginning with a focus on the blessings of Jesus. Look through the Gospels and you'll find a bunch of them. He just blesses by word and deed everywhere he goes. And we're beginning in particular with that batch of blessings that's gathered at the start of his Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5, what we call the Beatitudes. Last week we read the first of those blessings, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." And today we're going to read a second blessing in that list of blessings, along with a single verse from John 11. If you remember John's Gospel, chapter 11 is the one that tells the story about Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead. And we're going to read a single verse from the midst of that story. And if you happen to be a person who has struggled a bit with memorizing the Scripture, this verse would be a good one to start with because it's the shortest verse in the Bible. Okay? Well, let's pray before we read God's Word. Lord God, we thank you for your Word, that you inspired it with your Spirit as people wrote it. And now you inspire us as we hear it. Speak to the depths of our hearts, we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Matthew 5:4, Jesus said, "Blessed are those who mourn, for theirs is, for they shall be comforted." John 11:35, Jesus wept. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Okay, I have a couple of sets of pictures for you, and I want you to choose which set of pictures you'd rather find yourself in. I hope you can see with the bright sun coming through the windows, but those are all happy pictures there. And these, not so much. Unhappy settings. Let me show you again. Happy pictures and unhappy pictures. Where would you like to parachute into? Which of those scenes? Well, there's no doubt about it, is there? We'd love to parachute into one of those happy scenes, not one of those sad scenes. And when we see the sad scenes, our hearts go out to the people there, but we don't want to be there, not ourselves. And when we hear about such sad situations, we're always anxious until we realize, oh, it's no one I know. And then we feel a little better. That's how I am on the news when I hear about wildfires and mudslides in California. I thought, oh, well, that's in California. I don't know anybody. Then I learned that the worst of the fires and the mudslides of late were right around the home office of our denomination. The Eco office is right in Santa Barbara. And I was then anxious until I heard that my friends were okay. And then I didn't care, because I didn't know those folks. And the sadness was far away. Now, we do venture into sad places. We take church mission trips. We want to go to these sad places and minister in the name of Jesus. So long as it's a short excursion, we're okay with going. But it feels good to get back home. And we even do this individually. We'll go to someone who's in a sad place. They're mourning or they're sick, they're hurting in some way, and we go to them and we care for them in the name of Jesus. But is there anybody besides me that breathes a sigh of relief when you get in the car to go back home? It feels good to go back to the place of abundance and joy. And that's what feels right to us. So who's blessed in this life? Well, here's our basic take on it. The blessed are those who are in pictures like these we see, and who are definitely not in the places of mourning, or sickness, or sorrow, or suffering, or defeat. And so what we would expect Jesus to offer as a blessing is this. We would expect Jesus to say, "Blessed are those who realize that the hard times do pass, and that soon enough the good life returns." In other words, the realistic word that life has both blessing and bane, rejoicing and mourning, and in the ordinary course of life, we pass through all such zones. And so Jesus blesses us with awareness that, in fact, we will come through. The bane will again become the place of blessing. The mourning will again become the place of rejoicing. And that's what we imagine Jesus would say to people who live in such a place as we do. Hang on. We're going to get you through this and back to the rejoicing zone soon. And that would be pretty good blessing, wouldn't it? Just by itself, that would be a good blessing. But actually, that is far, far short of the blessing that Jesus really gave. He said, "Blessed are those who mourn." And that's because His blessing doesn't pause and wait until the mourning season passes. His blessing invades every space in our lives, even the hardest places. It will not be delayed. It will not wait its turn. It invades. His blessing invades now. And it even invades the place of mourning. And so Jesus doesn't stifle our mourning. He doesn't say, buck up now. He invades our mourning with blessing. He invades the hardest and the darkest places of our lives. And when He does, the blessing He brings is so robust that it brings comfort, not just once the hard time has passed, but in the middle of the hard time. He brings comfort as we mourn. It's not just the promise of comfort once we get back to our happy zone. It's real comfort right now, given by the blessing of Jesus in the mourning place. And He didn't just say it. He showed it. He demonstrated it. Blessed are those who mourn. Mary and Martha had lost their brother Lazarus, and they were mourning. He'd been dead for 4 days by the time Jesus got there. Even so, their mourning was still very intense. And rather than stifle them or trying to cheer them up, instead, Jesus joined them in the place of mourning. And thus we have that favorite memory verse, Jesus wept. Now, I was teasing about it being a good one to memorize because it's short. There's another good reason to memorize this verse, and that's because it shows us what Jesus is like, that He comes to the places where we are in life, even the hard places, and He's actually there with us. As we are, so is He in those places. He weeps with us. Now think what that means. In some religious traditions, the holy men go apart. They go to the mountaintop. The guru on the mountaintop is sort of the stereotype of this, purposely separated from all the squalor and suffering of this earth so that they can literally be above it all, physically and spiritually. Jesus doesn't do that. He's not the guru who goes up the mountain. He's the blesser who comes down from the mountain with the blessing for us, into the places where we are. He doesn't call it in long distance. He comes to where we are, even in the dark seasons, the hard seasons, and He invades those zones with His blessing. He weeps with those who weep. And as He does, He blesses. And His blessing is so robust, so transformative that we experience comfort, not just when the hard time passes, but in the middle of the hard time. You know, you can hear a blessing from anyone, but when you hear the blessing from the guy who raises the dead and heals the sick and restores the broken, when He speaks the blessing, wow. And that's the one who shows up and speaks blessing into the hard seasons of our lives. It's not that He makes everything well immediately. I mean, Lazarus, the first thing Jesus did was to be with them, and He wept with them. He didn't just immediately raise Lazarus from the dead. But once He did, Well, the weeping turned to rejoicing. The funeral food became celebration food in the presence of Jesus. But already the comfort was taking root. And in part because when He comes to us with blessing, it's with a tear in His eye. He's actually with us, weeping with us in the hard places and blessing us there. And He does so because no zone in human life is beyond the reach of Jesus and His blessing. So what does that mean? Well, it means that when you're in the mourning zone yourself, when you're in one of those hard places that you just want to get through and get out of, don't miss the blessing. Because it's coming. It's not waiting. It's coming now. And Jesus is bringing it. I went to see Vera Pryor in the hospital Friday afternoon. I think probably everybody here knows Vera. Longtime pillar of our church. If you'll remember, we've been praying for Vera. She has had lung cancer. She had radiation treatment. More recently, she had pneumonia. It's been a long row. She's very weak. And now back in the hospital with some complications. And this has turned into a major, major kind of marathon. So Vera doesn't need a lot of company, so I'm not encouraging everybody to go see her. But let me testify about what it's like to go visit Vera in that place. Vera knows that the blessing has come to her where she is. And when you talk with her while she's laid up, she's tired, she's ready to get out of that place and back home. But she knows that she's blessed. And she's experiencing the comfort of the Lord. She's okay. And she says so in a dozen different ways. I'm okay. I'm okay with where I am. The Lord is here. The Lord is moving. She's trusting Jesus where she is, not just trusting Him to get her beyond where she is. You see the distinction? She's trusting Him to be there with her right now while she's still in that hard place. And trusting Him to be bringing blessing. And the blessing He brings is so robust with comfort that she's comforted even while she's still in this physical problematic place. Now there's a testimony that comes when the Lord intervenes with healing power and we see someone's life transformed. And there's another kind of testimony that comes before the healing is apparent, when the comfort has taken root, when the blessing has been spoken and heard and received. With Jesus, we can be blessed. Blessed with comfort, even in the hard place. And Vera can testify to that right now. I'm afraid that what we more often settle for is playing the Stoic. You know the Stoics? That school of Greek philosophy that says that if you don't let it bother you, it won't. You just tough it out, you keep a thick skin to the harshness of life. You act as if the hard place can't possibly puncture your armor. A lot of us are Stoics, either by disposition or by training in a culture that is often Stoic. And actually, we bring that focus with us into the church house. And so in the church house, we don't realize that when we're being tough in that way, that it's not really an expression of faith in Jesus. It's Stoicism. And sometimes in the church house, we just learn some faith language to wrap around it. And so we have Christian knees, Stoicism. And when we do that, and then we are shutting ourselves off from the one who comes into our mourning place with tears and blessing and comfort, like He did for Mary and Martha. They were mourning. They weren't sucking it up and being tough. And Jesus went to them where they were and wept with them and blessed them in the mourning zone. with the kind of comfort that only Jesus can bring, the kind of comfort that actually carries us on through the mourning zone and heals us in the deep places of our beings. And here's the deal. The blessing Jesus gives is so robust, so overflowing, that He wants us to carry it to others that He would bless, making use of us in the process. He wants us to join Him as invaders with His kind of blessing. And so we do so best not by avoiding the places of Mary and Martha. We all get to those places ourselves, and we have people around us who are in those places. We do so best by receiving Jesus with the blessing He would bring into those hard places and becoming all the more ready to take His blessing to others when they're in the painful zones themselves. And that's why you see the followers of Jesus doing really crazy things. They don't flee the hard places, they invade them with Jesus. We don't avoid Mary and Martha because they make us uncomfortable in their pain. We go to them. We join Jesus as He invades their hard place, their dark place, with His comfort and His light. And we actually seek out Mary and Martha so that we can serve Jesus in those places where He would bless. We don't avoid the man with the stroke because his struggles bring us down. From our high perch, we seek Him out. We don't dodge the soul-stifling effect of poverty around us. We befriend poor people and we work for changes in our community that boosts them in their biggest challenges. We don't separate ourselves from the broken and the hurting, from Mary and Martha. We don't try to be little gurus above it all in our spiritual happy place. We've been sent from that happy place down the mountain with Jesus to bring blessing into this world. And we don't join our secular friends in trying to separate ourselves from the hard places in life through ever more ramped up entertainment and distraction. That's another place to, another means to pull yourself away from the pain of this world. We don't do that because we're invaders with Jesus. We've been invaded and we've been co-opted by Jesus, called by Jesus to join Him in His blessing invasion. And because we've received this blessing ourselves and felt the impact of His comfort in the hard places, we're ready to go. We trust Him that He can bring blessing and comfort even through people such as we are. And here's the topper. When we do, that's when His blessing grows to full stature in us. I mean, what could be better than being invaded by the blessing of Jesus, even in life's hard places? Well, only this. When the blessing He brings grows to full size and begins to spill over on others, then we're receiving and living the full blessing and comfort that He would give. It's the comfort that goes to the depths of our being, not just starting to sink in, but filling us up and spilling over the top so that we can minister to those around us. And here's the bonus. When we grow to full stature in that blessing, it frees us from the fear that there's another dark place just around the corner. I mean, you ever get to that place? I mean, life's going well now, but you never know what's right around the corner. And so we can't really enjoy life right now because we know that we're going to turn that corner and things are going to be hard again. And so if we're not downright afraid, we're a little bit anxious. But when we live fully into the blessing of the One who blesses those who mourn, then we also get freed from our own anxiety about the next dark zone that we may enter ourselves. This is a blessing so overflowing that we can take it with us into the mourning zone of others. That's the blessing of Jesus grown to full stature in our lives. Who could say this? Only Jesus. Only Jesus can say these things and have it be true and life-giving. Blessed are those who mourn. They will be comforted. And he's describing how life works with him in his kingdom. It's just so different than the rest of the world. It's the life of the kingdom. It's the life into which you've been invited that is now within you and flowing up out of you as he sends you down the mountain and out among those who mourn. Blessed are those who mourn. They will be comforted by Jesus through you. Now let's pray. Lord Jesus, no one can say what you say. Only you. With you, the truth comes alive. It becomes gracious. It becomes life-changing. It invades the dark places. It changes them. It changes us. We've tasted it. We want more. More of your blessing. Use us to your glory. And we pray in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen.